Lions fans. It's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The show where Kool-Aid runs blue, faces turn red, and rose-colored glasses never go out of style. This is the Detroit Lions Podcast. Your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection. And now, the guys people are talking about when they discuss monkeys and footballs. Chris and Case.
Hey, howdy-ho, Lions fans. Welcome to the Detroit Lions Podcast, episode 312. This is the official Detroit Lions Podcast for Reddit. I am your dashing, and I have two other guys here that'll validate that, dashing host, I tell you, Chris. And with me are my two equally dashing co-hosts, Tony, Tio Ortiz, and Jeff the Riz Rizden. How you guys doing today?
Doing good. Great to be here.
It's great to have you guys. I love doing the show. This is a fun show to do. Got a lot to talk about. It's a big week. It's a big week. Can you imagine the big win? Just imagine it for a moment, and then we'll talk about reality after. Just imagine. We're going to talk about the Lions-Packers this week. We're going to talk about the injury report. There's some interesting pieces to that. We've got some game predictions, a whole lot more. We've got a great show lined up. Boys, you ready to go?
Oh, let's do it!
Let's kick this off and break it down.
All right. A couple of quick announcements first. Check us out. Help us out on the old Patreon. Very special thanks to our friend Dylan, who's out in...
Guam!
He's so good at that. Of course, our very first donor, Mathis, Brian, Burkheiser, IprevailBand.com, the rockin'est band you'll ever find. Check them out. They all hang out with us and our Slack chat that you can get access to by going to patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Patreon is the ultimate donor platform to support your creators. Head on over to patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. You'll get access to the Slack chat, which is the most intelligent Lions chat on the internet. All you have to do is give as little as $1 a month or more to help support the podcast and the show and the video and all that stuff, and we'll get you in there. Make sure to check us out on Twitter at DET Lions Podcast, DET Lions Podcast, the very best place to see Les Riz. That's right. Subscribe on YouTube, youtube.com/Detroit Lions Podcast and youtube.com/DLP Clips. Subscribe both of them. Get all the good stuff. You see all the no pants, all the other stuff going on. Also, rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, iHeart, Pandora, Amazon, and Tony Ortiz No Pants channel. Wherever you find us, get us on there. 5 stars reviews. Those last forever. They mean so much. If you can't give us 5 stars, hit us up in the subreddit. Let us know why, and we'll work to change your heart and mind, because that's what we do here. Give us a call on Skype, Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast, or on the Lions line at 929-33-LIONS. 929-335-4667. All right, let's do this and do the stuff that we do.
Tighten your chin straps, kids. It's time to review this week in Reddit.
All right, talk about all the fun and exciting things going down this week in Reddit. We got a lot to talk about. We'll start out a little bit with some Lions meta. This is like a new kind of segment we added because there's just some stuff going on. And there's one of the things that Riz really wanted to talk about, and his name is Isaac Nauta, and he's not Detroit. Did you know that, Riz?
I did. Not anymore. He's gone.
Where is he?
He's in Green Bay. They signed him to the practice squad this week.
is that bad for us?
Yes, and Daryl Bevel talked about it being bad because he didn't give the coach speak. He's like, yeah, I'm scared to death of what he's going to reveal about our game planning for it. He was here too long.
Oh, maybe that was the I know that you know that I know that they know kind of the coach speak. Huh? You think he's being crafty and cagey, or is he still too young as a head coach to know to be so cagey and creepy?
He went to Wisconsin, so probably not.
Shout out to Wisco Boiler from the Patreon chat.
I mean, there's a lot. Like, every coach is going to be like, oh, he knows enough about the game plan. They can study film. They can figure these things out anyways. Mm-hmm. But with the coaching change, that's a different dynamic, and Nauta survived through that. So he does know more than what you would pick up off of film in terms of what they're trying to do, what they're trying to change, what their goals are. So yeah, it's a bigger deal this time than normal. Normally I don't really care that much about it, but in this specific instance, It's
didn't they pick up Toy Lolo or one time? It was somebody like him, right? Or Michael Roberts or somebody maybe, whose name we've all forgotten.
I don't know. we have a plethora of old tight ends that just suck. Not of being the latest of them, by the way. He's never going to help them on the field, that's for sure.
Yeah, not a problem there.
And they do have Robert Tonyan, who used to be a Lion.
Oh, yeah. He's had a real good season, too.
He's been real good.
He's been really good. And, Chris, here's the thing. With the new, as Riz was mentioning, with the interim head coach in there, you aren't going to change a whole lot of stuff anyway because of the quick turnaround with the new coach. So that makes it even more interesting. And, look, I don't know how much Nauta's going to be able to give away, but it does add a new element to the Packer-Lion rivalry that hasn't been there for a few years. Let me put it that way.
There you go. All right. You know, you talk about that, and there's this whole thing about do NFL teams get a bounce after firing their coaches? It's on 538. They did some really good statistical work on this, and it's from the subreddit. Let me give the poster credit. I shouldn't have tried it. Anyway, I_NEH. I don't know. Ina, whatever. It's great stuff there. I can't pronounce your name, but you got really good readable stuff here. So we're looking at what 538 put together. The fired coach had a win percentage on average of 27%, 0.27, where the interim, you get a huge boost. You do get that bounce of 12.5% to 3.96 win percentage.
Okay.
Not a whole lot. And over time, it doesn't continue to help, and it doesn't continue to carry. Your best bet is generally, judging by the numbers alone, to go find yourself another coach. So you get they're calling it the dead coach bounce. The dead coach bounce is real. Yeah, but
it's very real. We saw it last week. I saw it personally in Cleveland when Greg Williams, who's a dead coach, took over for Hugh Jackson. I believe he went 5-3 with a team that was 2-7-1. So yeah, it's real, but they weren't keeping Greg Williams, and for good reason. If you saw what happened last weekend,
yeah.
Greg hopefully is out of the NFL now because he's a dipshit.
He's got to have some kind of value. I mean, he could probably do a podcast. Oh. Wait.
It would not be family friendly. Let's put that.
No.
Yeah, he couldn't even do that. See, we got that on him. We can do a podcast that's family friendly most of the time.
Purple instead of blue.
Except the end of last week, Tony, when we made the ear comment.
Yeah. Oh my.
That was great. That was really cool.
I had forgotten about that moment.
It just popped up for me.
So the what you're getting at, though, Chris, is that we should probably enjoy Daryl Bevel while he is the interim head coach, because he's not going to be the regular head coach.
Yeah, I don't think that the 12% winning percentage increase is going to really rear its head here. I think more the other 90% is going to show itself here as far as this week against the Packers. But maybe we will talk about that. You know, there's always hope.
You got to admit, though, if they upset the Packers on Sunday, his status, his candidacy looks a heck of a lot better than it did a week ago.
That's right. And if these numbers were always right, people would be very, very rich, and they wouldn't be publishing them on the internet. It would be stock market all day, right? So there's always outliers. There's always things that change, but the numbers don't point to great success. I want to talk about one other thing, and I just kind of briefly mentioned it to Tony ahead of time, and he was like, he flexed, and he was like, I want to take you down. He wants to argue this one or some form of that. The NFC player of the week last week, this was posted by Moisty Boyle in the subreddit, Aaron Rodgers, and he got it over Matthew Stafford. Do you know that Matthew Stafford has only gotten that honor one time? Back in 2009. Wow. Yeah,
the
NFC.
The rookie game where he beat the Browns. That was the only time he ever got it.
Yep. So against the Bears last week, he was 27 for 42. Mm-hmm. Not bad. 402 yards, three touchdowns, one interception, and sacked twice. Aaron Rodgers, who obviously with the supporting cast 4 miles long, was able to go 25 for 34, 295 yards only, over 107 yards less, three touchdowns, the same, no interceptions. And so that he's got that going for him. Sacked twice as well. Ooh, but he did fumble one time. That might kind of count against that interception differential there. I'm just not seeing this Aaron Rodgers being the NFC player of the week over Matthew Stafford. I don't see it. And I know the fact that, hey, you haven't won it, that doesn't give you a better chance at it. But the fact that he hasn't won it, come on, this is ridiculous. This was a week where he absolutely should have gotten it straight by the numbers. But Tony, you want to tell me I'm a fool and an idiot and say dumb things. So go ahead.
I wouldn't say you were a fool or an idiot. Didn't say dumb thing there, but no, I wouldn't say the other two. No, look, better completion percentage. Little truth. Look, better completion percentage. And let's be honest, guys, that Packer offense the last couple of weeks has looked really, really good. And against the Eagles last week, even though the Eagles are probably on the same rung as the Lions, that offense looked really good. To me, I have no problems with Aaron Rodgers winning player of the week. Offensive player of the week last week. I just thought he had a better game than Matthew Stafford, even though Stafford threw for more yards. I just think that if you take those games and look at them and break them down, Rodgers had the better game overall. And that offense had the better game than the Lions did.
Oh, Rez's friend jumped in. He's going
to win.
I love that guy.
He didn't agree. Rez, where's your head at? Be the big tiebreaker here and tell us who doesn't know what they're talking about.
In the grand scheme of things, I don't really care.
There you go.
You know, that's one thing we don't manufacture. We don't manufacture opinion here. That's one thing. It's all real.
I will say, I think Stafford was very impressive, but that interception really stuck with me as being a terrible, terrible play. And Rodgers did not have that.
I thought that was a great play by the lineman, but
it was. It was smart. It was. That was good defense by the Bears. One of the few instances of that. It was, I don't know. I thought that Rodgers, Philadelphia's defense is really good. I think that gets lost in the fact that their offense is an absolute train wreck. Yeah. They're changing quarterbacks, and that's not going to go all that well. Nothing against Jalen Hurts, but he's got a tough assignment to go here. Chris and I both like Jalen Hurts a lot from the Senior Bowl. Really, really good guy, easy guy to root for. I hope it goes well for him. But that team's a mess. But the defensive front is really good, and I think that the fact that Rodgers did it against them probably does give him the edge. They did it on national television.
Yep,
they did it with a broader audience, much more fanfare. I know that's foofy. I get it, but in a way you kind of have to earn that, and I don't think Stafford has earned that. He made some incredible throws. So that throw to Cephas down the my goodness.
You know, there's a lot of Cephas believers these days. I tell you that much.
First off, the way Cephas pushed off without getting called for it was brilliant. That is a veteran savvy move. That is something that it took Alshon Jeffrey a long time to learn. Andre Johnson took a long time to learn that. How you when the other guy is grabbing your arm, you can fulcrum him off because the referee or the official is looking at the other guy. He's not looking at you. Mm-hmm. He figured that out quickly. That was brilliant. Perfect pass. Highest air yards completion of any throw in week 13. And it happened to be the rookie's first touchdown. That was a great play. I think you can hang your hat on that if you're looking for accolades for Stafford. He was also nominated for the FedEx Air Player of the Week. He did not win that either, but he came in second there too. So
you just need a better record, I guess, in order to get that. You know, that's the way it works.
I guess so.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that so the subreddit doesn't destroy me and they can. It's Tony Ortiz and Jeff Risden. You can go ahead and let them know because I don't need to get torched there anymore.
Individual accolades in a team sport don't really mean a lot to me during the season. After the season, all pro nods mean something to me. That type of thing.
No fun.
During the season, it's a lot of it is who has the most lipstick on their pig, honestly.
Can I give you one more that irritates me at this point?
Yeah.
The Pro Bowl voting. People make a big deal about the Pro Bowl voting, and here's the thing. There isn't even going to be a Pro Bowl game. It's going to be played using Madden 21, and people still make a big deal about who's leading in the votes, who's got more votes than the next person, and it drives me crazy because the Pro Bowl is nonsense.
There may or may not be bots dedicated to getting some Dallas Cowboys elected to the Pro Bowl, by the way.
Really?
Yep.
Really? Would not shock me.
I may or may not know someone who might be behind that.
Frizz. Oh my goodness. All right. Well, there you go. That's the information. Hate on those guys. Don't hate me. I'm your friend. I'm your good friend.
If you're worried about it when the Lions are what, 5-7, I can't even keep track. If you're worried about Matthew Stafford getting shafted for an award, you're probably looking a little too narrow. Broaden your horizons.
Okay, fine. So I'm just going to say, after 13 games, the Lions are still in the hunt for the playoffs. There you go. We're 5-7, fired a coach, and we're in the hunt for the playoffs. That's the expectation we have. 9-7 wasn't good enough, but we're still going to the playoffs, possibly. Not.
Hey, they're playing meaningful games in December.
That's right.
That just dawned on me. That's
true. And we're still fired the coach.
That was the bar they had to cross, and they're crossing it.
And we were all stressed out about what that meant, and it turns out that it meant good things for us. Yeah.
All right, let's move on to the Diamond CBD Injury Report, brought to you by Diamond CBD. Don't forget, if you've got your injuries, you got a little pain, a little anxiety, a little bit of insomnia, there's one way to cure that and take care of it. Head on over to, what is it? CBD.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. That's what it is. Everybody knows that. Except me. CBD.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Head on over. Get yourself the ultimate cure for anxiety, insomnia, or pain. They've got the creams that are awesome. They've got your standard CBD, which takes care of all those things. And then they have, for the people that want a little extra, something a little bit more, then you just head on over and get yourself that that chill line, that stuff with a Delta 8. You're going to feel like you had some of that stuff that's legal in a couple of the states right now. This is legal in all 50 states. And it's good for you. It makes you feel good, help you sleep, get all that great stuff. If you ever feel stressed about how stressed you are, go to CVD.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. What? There you go. Don't you ever feel stressed about how stressed you are?
Yes.
All the time, right?
Yeah.
CBD.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Okay, let's talk about the injury report. Riz, I know you pulled that up.
I did.
I'm trying not to be goofy, guys. It was a long week. I apologize.
It's been a very long week.
Yes.
All right. What do you got, Riz? What's the injury report look like? We're all healthy. We got an easy win this week.
Negative. Unfortunately, Kenny Golladay, hip, out. Tyrell Crosby, ankle, out. Jeff Okuda, groin, out. And you never want to be out with the groin. We got
sometimes
questionable.
You got to ask Tony about the ears first.
Oh, no. All right. So questionable. Don't get scared by this, but Matthew Stafford is questionable technically for the game with his thumb injury. Mm-hmm. Nobody expects him to be anything than under center for all, however, 72 snaps that they get Sunday.
It's a required report, right?
Yes, yeah. He is indeed questionable. He was limited in practice all week. DeAndre Swift, back at full practice on Friday. That's very good news. He's questionable for the game. It will be a game-time decision based on how his head is. He was described as having illness. We will talk in a little bit about what that illness may or may not have been, and that's good. It would be great to get him back because they can use him. John Penasini, questionable. Not listed, and then a limited practice with a shoulder injury on Friday. That means he got hurt on Friday in practice. That's not good. I don't know the details behind that.
Tried to tackle Swift. That's what happened.
It could be. It's generally not a good sign when a guy has practiced all week, gets hurt on Friday, and gets added to the practice report. That I'm just going off of a ballpark figure here. That's probably 75% that those guys don't play. So we will see what happens with that. And then you have your usual suspects. Deshaun Hand, forever questionable, forever limited in practice. He also has a groin injury. C.J. Moore, questionable with an ankle injury. And then Austin Bryant, who I'm still not quite sure actually exists, is questionable with a thigh injury. He was limited in practice all week. I've never seen the guy. I don't know that he exists.
He's having
I need visual confirmation that he has progressed from beyond being the guy at Clemson and is actually employed by the Detroit Lions, because I've never seen him.
He's had every body part injured since last time he played, right? I mean, it's something different every week on the injury report. I think he's just,
as Donald Duck would say, it's always something.
Tony, I mean, I know you spend a lot of time with these guys and seeing these guys and covering this stuff. Does he really exist? I mean, or is he just like a caricature for Lions fans' dreams and hopes? Like, it's okay, he's going to play this week, and he just never makes the field.
I saw him at training camp, so I believe he exists still. But again, that was a training camp.
Okay. Wow. Any bandages? Did he walk? Was he ambulatory? All that sort of thing. Like
he was walking just fine. Yes, okay. But right. Again,
he exists. Okay.
One other injury note, because Eric Schlitt made a point of putting it in the Lions Wire piece, and I respect Eric, and he did a good job with it. Is that Julian Okora has begun practicing and can be activated anytime off IR, and Trey Flowers can also come back. He's eligible to return anytime. He talked like he's going to be back too. Mm-hmm. Not this week, but he certainly still wants to get out there and play. And honestly, for a guy who was seen as a Patricia guy, it's kind of important for him to get back on the field and show that he can still do some things without his benefactor as his head coach. I would like to see him come back.
Yeah. Oh man, I think you got a better chance of seeing Bigfoot than you do Austin Bryant, but whatever. Let's talk about DeAndre Swift, Riz, because there's been some talk about, hey, it was a concussion. Hey, maybe not. Hey, yeah. What's the story here, buddy?
So Daryl Bevel was asked about Swift's injury status, but I'll give Dave Burkett credit for it, because Dave bulldogged him on this, and it was a great job by Dave. Mm-hmm. I want to find the exact quote. He asked Bevel if Swift was ready to play this week, and Bevel said, yeah, he's trending towards playing. We're feeling pretty good about it. Had another good day. And then Dave followed up and asked if he did indeed suffer a concussion or if he was dealing with migraine headaches. And Bevel said, yes, I think it's safe to say there's a fine line there. I don't think it's for me to be able to comment on his health to the public, but yes, there's a fine line and things there that we were looking at. Yes, Bevel explained. So he was cleared from – now keep in mind, so the timeline on this is that Swift was cleared from the concussion protocol last Wednesday or Thursday, and then he was sent home for illnesses that was undisclosed, but it has later turned out that it's still a head problem, unrelated to the concussion, and it's migraines. If you've ever had migraines, and I suffer from them, you'll know that the symptoms are very similar to a concussion. Mm-hmm. So then Burkett followed that up by saying, hey, did he really have a concussion or is he just suffering from migraines? And Bevel's like, I cannot say that. And he was real, real ready to answer the next question after that one. So it could be a situation where he never had it. Remember, he did not get concussed in the game.
It
happened allegedly in practice. Could it have just been that he wound up getting a migraine or a cluster headache or something like that? Those happen. And again, their symptoms are very similar and often identical to a concussion. So
that is really interesting. I mean,
there's some gray area going on there. And I will say this, Daryl Bevel did not handle that all that well. Matt Patricia would not have answered the question.
Correct.
He would have talked for 5 minutes and not answered it. Mm-hmm. But and in a certain sense, that's probably the way to go there. Bevel saying what he did that he wasn't sure. That's not good, man. It's not good for Swift, because if it was a concussion, at least he's going to be over it. And while he's susceptible to more for having suffered a brain injury in the past, mm-hmm. you can kind of protect that. If you're getting migraines, guys, I've had them since I was 12. I'm almost 50. I mean, they don't go away. They're a recurring problem. They are debilitating. Look at a guy like Percy Harvin. He lost his NFL career because of migraine headaches. Yeah. He could not get past it. I hope that's not the case with Swift, but now that door has to be open, and we have to kind of walk on those eggshells a little bit.
When did you get that old, Riz?
When my parents birthed me.
you should celebrate your youth like Tony and I.
I'd love to.
Tony, what do you think, man? This is a real odd deal, and I kind of am a little frustrated with the trainers, because if this was all migraines all along, how did they miss it? I mean, how do you diagnose a concussion? I get that the symptoms are similar, but this is doing a disservice to everybody.
Yeah, it is, and it kind of made DeAndre Swift look questionable. It's mm-hmm. like, okay, mm-hmm. yeah. what exactly is wrong with you? What are they hiding? And that's the other part of it too. It looked like they were hiding something, when in reality, it didn't seem like they had to hide this. If it's migraines, come out and say migraine. I'll give Daryl Bevel credit for at least saying, look, I can't say it's migraines, but I'm not going to lead you down the wrong road or down the wrong path. And
yeah, that's fair.
You know, head coaches are really funny about it. We saw that with Matt Patricia. We saw it with Jim Caldwell. head coaches are really funny about giving away injury information like that. So I'll give Bevel credit for that. Yeah. The other thing that comes to mind too, guys, you hate to see a young Lions running back with a situation like this, because the first thing I thought of when Riz mentioned it was Javon Best. That's the first thing that came to mind. You hope that this isn't a similar situation to Javon Best, who I thought was a terrific player who fit in with the Lions offense, but it was injuries that just doomed him and just couldn't stay on the field. And that was frustrating. So you hope this isn't a similar situation to that.
Yeah. All right. I want to move on to another player who's oft on the injury report. And, you know, one of the key abilities is availability when you're a football player. Kenny Golladay up for a big contract this year. Now this hip.
Maybe, he thinks he is.
Yeah. Well, OK. Good point. Good point. I'm just setting this up, these things up. You knock them down how you want. It's like a game of bowling.
Today, sorry. Woke up in a bad mood.
Game of bowling. Carried over. Tony, where's your head at, man? Now the hip, right? This doesn't bode well for him on top of where he's at to the reasons exactly like Riz said.
Right. But here's the thing. We don't know what the next GM is going to think about this. We don't know what the next GM believes and thinks about Kenny Golladay. He might think that Kenny Golladay is the type of receiver that you build an offense around and they give him the money that he's looking for. You're right. These injuries don't help, but yet to be determined whether he will actually come back or not. By the way, Jim Schwartz scouting report on Kenny Golladay, he's good, but he's not Calvin Johnson yet.
He's always just got the
share,
best.
Just thought I'd share that.
I love you, Tony. That's great. He's so good.
All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on that situation. Obviously, breaking.
Drop my lamp.
By the way, that one thing. That did kind of annoy me when people started comparing him to Calvin Johnson. I mean, Kenny Golladay is a good player. He's not quite there yet. And I hate comparisons like that. Don't compare.
You want my take on it? Read my 10-cent, my 10th cent at Real GM on Monday.
You got it.
10 cents column, because I went off on that. And I actually got feedback from two ex-NFL players who told me that I was dead on right.
You know, I think part of it, though, is Lions fans inherently, you know, we have our problems, right? Let's put it that way. And Kenny Golladay coming in, it was right after the loss of Calvin Johnson. People were like, what are we going to do at wide receiver? Obviously something that still hasn't been answered. But they were like, they were like, okay, this guy, look at what he's doing. And he did it with four bad quarterbacks his senior year who couldn't throw. That's why he's good at catching crazy balls, because they could never get one within his zip code to where he was on the field. Okay, he's going to be Babytron. Yeah, we'll call him. No, not Babytron. That diminishes him. But it was like immediately they were trying to find that replacement. And
right.
I'm telling you, when it is, and I'm not saying now is the time, but when it does become time for Matthew Stafford to leave this team, I think you're going to see a whole lot of the same out of folks who are just like, this is Matty Ice 2 or something, you know, whatever. They're going to come up with something because they don't know. So many people don't know what it's like not to have a quarterback.
And guys, here's something else that kind of figures in the equation too. We don't know if Marvin Jones is coming back next year. We think he is, but we don't know. I don't believe Danny Amendola is coming back next year, just from all the changes alone. So right there, you're down your top two or two other receivers. It's going to be interesting to see how the new GM and new head coach configure this roster. I mean, right now, your number one receiver going in the next year could be Quintez Cephus.
This is like exponentially a Mayhew Millen draft. We're going to do 3 years of drafts in a row in the first three picks, grabbing wide receivers.
This is a good year to need one, though.
Yeah,
it is.
I mean, if you're going to do it, I guess do it this year. But boy, we're hurting at wide receiver.
Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle. Gimme.
Pick your poison, right? And we talk about this. Pick your poison. You're going to fix the defense, you're going to fix the offense, because you don't have enough picks to fix them both.
Almost forgot about Mohamed Sanu. He's under a one-year contract, so he's not, you know, he's at this point going to be a free agent.
By the way, his blocking was phenomenal on Sunday. He is why Adrian Peterson scored that first touchdown. Mm-hmm. That is why he is playing and Marvin Hall is in Cleveland.
There you go. All right, let's move on from the injury report. Thank you, Diamond CBD, CBD.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. I will remember that. I've said it 100 billion times and I'm freezing today. All right, let's talk about the matchups. What are the key matchups for you, Tony? We're looking at these guys in the field. Green Bay, it's a tough game. It's in Detroit. If the Lions have any hope, what are the matchups where we need to watch?
I'm going to stun you. I think it's going to be the running game for the Packers. If the Lions can shut down Aaron Jones and force the Packers to become one-dimensional, I think they have a chance in this game to pull off the upset. But to me, the unsung hero of the Packers offense, and Jeff, I hope you agree, is Aaron Jones. He is a terrific running back, he gives them a whole new dimension offensively. The Packers, to me, seem to be a better team when they have a good running game. Aaron Jones gives them that good running game. So job number one for the Lions, and Everson Griffin even said this the other day, they've got to be able to stop the run, and they've got to be able to force some pressure, get some pressure on Aaron Rodgers and make him feel uncomfortable in the pocket.
What about you, Riz? What's your matchups?
You know, I'll go to the other side of the ball, and the Lions offense, they have got to get push against that defensive front.
Yep.
The Packers are vulnerable to teams that can ram it down their throat. The Lions at times have been that. I think we saw some signs of that from Adrian Peterson last week. He did pretty well. They've got to go out and just physical run game, attack, run downhill. Don't run. I don't want to see anybody running laterally this week. I want to see them attacking downhill, because the Packers defense, specifically their linebackers, are built on speed and getting to the outside. If you run at them, you can have a lot of success at that. That sets up play action. That sets up any speed that you might have on the team. They don't really have that. But Marvin Jones is pretty good at double moves. We saw Quintez Cephas get open down the field. TJ Hockenson could have a good matchup this week, depending on how they dictate that. I think Hockenson is a key piece to this game. He's got to get off. And again, power run game, setting up the play action. That's how you keep it. Keep the possessions to a minimum. You want to slow Green Bay down. You do that by having nice long drives.
Yep.
You do that by not committing penalties, having good special teams. It's playing good, fundamental, sound football and hoping that Green Bay makes some mistakes that they sometimes do, sometimes they don't.
Yeah. It's interesting, and when I think about this, because what I really, really think we need to do is get pressure on Aaron Rodgers, what Tony kind of ended with on his side. I think that is the key. Now,
Don't let him run, though.
No,
you've got to do the smart rush. You do it against Deshaun Watson. You do it against Russell Wilson. They did it well against Kyler Murray.
Here's the thing, though, right? And this is the thing that where I'm going, because it's all about, you say that and you're talking about, hey, I'm going to hit the quarterback. I'm going to hit the quarterback. I'm going to hit the quarterback. But we've played them very, very well the last couple years, better than we should have. The defense has played Green Bay better than they should have the last couple years, the same way they played Patrick Mahomes, to elaborate on your examples when we played them. It's that cover and contain kind of thing. They keep him in a hole, and they just start collapsing around him and get those hits. And don't let him escape. Don't let him run, because he builds confidence. He loves being under pressure and running. He absolutely loves it. He feeds off that, and that gets him going. You've got to hit him, but you cannot let him run, as you said, Riz. That's the big thing. So we don't get a whole lot of hits on him in the last couple of years, or we haven't gotten a lot of hits on him in the last couple of years. But it is all about that containment, and it's been successful. So I don't know how.
Here's another question for you guys. What person in the Lions secondary is going to cover Davante Adams, who is on quite a roll the last, I'd say, 10, 11 games? He's so good.
He's been on fire. I would like to say Amani Oruwariye, but he has played not well the last couple of weeks. He got his business handed to him in Chicago. Yes, and it wasn't just by Allen Robinson either.
It's going to be Will Smith, Amani Oruwariye, Tracy Walker, and maybe a little bit of Tavai. It's not going to help.
Oh, man. I think the best that you can hope for with Adams is that you let him catch the ball and get him to the ground right away.
Yeah.
Yep.
He's really good after the catch, too. Very physical, very difficult to tackle. Swarm tackling, be positionally responsible. Okuda's out.
That hurts.
That pushes somebody else. That pushes Daryl Roberts into much more of a prominent role. Actually, Roberts, I don't want to say he played well, but he didn't suck in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
He can at least tag. He's at least a willing tackler. So
he played well early this season when he was pushed into service. I mean, he was not a liability. We'll put it that way.
Yeah, exactly.
But you're going to have
to. He's your number four corner. You're doing okay.
You're going to have to have safety help over the top on Adams. And exactly right. He's probably going to wind up catching the ball, but please don't let him get past you and just take him to the ground. That's the key.
I'd like to see Daron Harmon shaded specifically towards him. Let Marquez Valdes-Scantling, let Robert Tonyan, let those guys try to beat you because Aaron loses confidence in them quickly if
yes,
they don't.
Yep.
And that's one of the flaws for the Packers offense is that they are very dependent upon Davante Adams being the alpha receiver. But if he's the only one that's working, like if Valdes-Scantling drops the first pass, Rodgers isn't throwing him the ball again. He's like that.
Right, right.
So maybe you'll get lucky with that too.
All right. Well, with that, we'll move on to the keys of the game. If you're buying what Riz is selling, head on over to Amazon, amazon.detroitlionspodcast.com. It's the holiday season. You get yourself all your gifts, all your good stuff. You see that? We call that a segue. In the business, right, Tony?
That's a segue.
I learned everything I know from T.O. He's like, don't ruin my name like that. don't wreck my reputation. Amazon.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Get all your gifts. You run out of time. You don't want to, you know, the plague is hitting worse than it ever has. You don't want to go see people. It's horrible to see people. People are terrible. Just do all of your stuff from home. Don't even visit anybody, as a matter of fact. Don't go to anyone. Don't see your mom. Don't see your dad. Just order it. They'll wrap it for you. They'll wrap it and they'll ship it. And you say, I got you something. Don't call. Right. And you're free. And then you just play your games or whatever you bought yourself at amazon.detroitlionspodcast.com. And that's the key to a happy Christmas. To heck with the family. To heck with the friends. Order everything from Amazon for you and everybody else. There you go. amazon.detroitlionspodcast.com.
Remember, people are terrible.
Yeah, people are terrible. Terrible. Also, don't subscribe to this channel. Don't subscribe to this channel. We don't want people subscribe. We want to keep an exclusive club here, okay? The algorithm is working against us on YouTube, so do not subscribe to this channel. Okay. Keys to the game. T.O., what do you got?
They got to play with some discipline against Aaron Rodgers. They really do. I mean, as Riz said correctly, you can't let him run. You can't let him get outside and run. So you got to, if you are the Lions front seven, you've got to play with some discipline against Aaron Rodgers. Keep him contained in the pocket. And if he starts to get out, you've got to be smart. The other thing too, don't let him draw you offsides. He loves that. He loves that count.
He's good at it too.
And he's real good at it. And it's funny. You listen to him, it's the same, 319, 319, hut, hut. You hear it all the time. And yet, he can still draw people off sides like that. So you've got to be disciplined and focused against Aaron Rodgers. The other thing, too, guys, think about this. If the Packers beat the Lions and the Vikings lose to Tampa Bay, Green Bay wins the NFC North division. Don't think for a second that isn't going to be on the minds of the players on Sunday. So don't be surprised if the Packers come out and want to put this game away early, especially knowing that the Vikings and Buccaneers play early. They are at the 1 o'clock game. So by 4:25, you have a pretty good idea if the Packers are on the road to winning another division title.
That's right. We are at the late game this week.
Correct.
That's so weird. I thought you were going to say they were going to come out and choke, Tony. I was certain of it.
No, they are not going to choke.
I want to get Carissa Thompson on the phone. If you haven't seen the St. Jude episode, it's definitely worth going and finding. Right, Tony?
Sure.
No. I don't disagree with you. I'm just telling you right now. I don't disagree with you at all. Okay. No, all right. Let's move on. Keys of the game, Riz. What do you got?
Win the first half, because this is where Green Bay puts things away. Mm-hmm. No team scores more points in the first half of a game than the Green Bay Packers. They average 18.7 points per game before the half. That's 26 over the last four games, believe it or not. They are burying opponents on offense, but on defense, they also do it too. They are fifth in the league in first half points allowed. They allow 9 points less in the first half than the Lions do on average. And the Lions are 22nd in that, so they're not terrible at it. You cannot let them get out in front, because then, as Tony knows, they can run the ball. They're going to run the ball against you. You want it to be a competitive game. You want to stay within striking distance where you're within one score at all times. Otherwise, they are going to bury you. You've got to come out hot early. That's something that Matthew Stafford has – throughout his career, he's kind of struggled at that. He will have games where he comes out on fire, and he will have games where he comes out and gives you – you know, 2 for 5 for 11 yards on the first couple of drives, and they're 3 and outs. Can't do that against this team this week. You've got to keep the game manageable at halftime. Come out in the second half. The Packers do give up a crap ton of points in the fourth quarter. Some of that is obviously garbage time, but they do wear down. They do get tired. They don't have much depth. So if you can keep it close, you're gonna be getting those situations where guys are fatigued and the game still matters. So you've got to come out strong in this game. win the first half, specifically win the first quarter and that first drive of the second quarter. That is where Green Bay has really put the separation on teams.
And Chris Riz beat me on that one, because that first drive of the second half is critical. That's how the Packers were able to blow the Lions away the first time they met in week two. They scored on that opening drive. The Lions have a bad habit of letting teams score on that opening drive of the second half. And if the Packers do that, it just snowballs from there. So if you're the Lions, you want to make sure that when the Packers get that ball for the first time in the second half, you shut them down. Three and out, get them off the field. Yep. Otherwise, it could snowball.
I'm going to tell you, so really quick, one Pride 81, we outscored them in the first half this year in Lambeau. Yeah, we absolutely did. So there's you know, possibility in all this. And that was without Kenny Galladay. So just, you know, some thinking right there. But
true story.
true story. Nice story, bro. Cool story, bro. My key to the game is there's I have two keys, really. The first one is an offense, and it is absolutely no more than one three and out on the day. If those three and outs have been killing us, and this defense cannot survive a short time on the field by the offense. They have to get out, they have to run drives, they have to take control of the game. And whether they score quickly or they take their time scoring, they have to hold the ball. They cannot give it up immediately after three downs. So that's one of the keys. The other one is adjust. Yep. The key to beating Green Bay, I think this is the strongest of the two keys that I'm putting here. The key is to be unexpected, to do the unexpected in Green Bay. If something's not working, immediately change. Immediately change, because we cannot let them predict what we're going to do, and we cannot keep trying the same thing over and over, because if they figure it out, it's absolutely time to move on and stop doing that. Maybe go back to it later, but we have to stop doing that. We have to do a better job of adjusting.
That old Little Caesars commercial was fantastic. You guys remember that?
Yeah.
Stop doing that.
Oh, man. Super chat from Loretta Martin. Listen, I know Chicago defense is overrated, but not by a lot. The Lions put a 30 burger on that D. Are we saying GB is better? Swift and Hawk in the passing game should have a big. Swift is hopefully going to be there. Hawk is obviously going to be the guy that they're watching, because he is our only a few catches away from being the leader. I think he's like 10 yards out from being the yards leader for the team this year. Marvin Jones, great game against Chicago, got him the lead away from Hawk. That's great, but I think it's going to take a lot more than 30 points to win this game against Green Bay. I just think that it's going to, their side of the scoreboard is going to look like a gas pump back in 2008 during the housing crisis, right? Just
they're really, really effective, and they do it against a variety of defenses. If you load up to stop the run, then you're letting Aaron Rodgers take over the game. Yep. If you try to stop Aaron Rodgers, they're going to give it to Aaron Jones, who, by the way, can run for 77 yards with nobody touching him. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They are a very well-built team. Their left tackle, David Bakhtiari, is one of the best in football. Their line, Corey Linsley, at center. I'm not sure about his injury status, but he's a very good one, too. They are a very good offense. There's a reason why they can clinch this weekend. There's a reason why they're going to be the number two seed in the NFC, yep. More than likely. They're good, guys.
Our best bet is a shootout.
Don't diss that.
Our best bet is a shootout this week, I think. Tony, you look like you don't believe that.
No, I'd go the opposite way. Your best bet is a low-scoring defensive.
I agree. Game. Make it muddy.
Yeah.
I don't think you're going to be able to do that. I just don't think you're going to be able to stop Green Bay, so you need to put the points on the board. Yeah. If you get a couple
Matt
stops.
Prater today, to make every good. Available kick, too. He can't be missing extra points anymore.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. All right, we got Vegas here. Vegas has Green Bay by 7.5 points, minus -400 in the money line. Lions plus +345. Over under. Here we go. What do you guys? We give you guys the test every week. We test you against the experts in Las Vegas. Tony, where do you put the over under?
52.
Mm-hmm. What is
it? I'm going to go 54.5. That seems higher.
55. Oh. Riz. He looked it up, Tony. Don't worry. Don't believe him. He's
I did Tuesday when the line came out.
He did an article on it.
By the way, over.
Yeah. Yep.
Over. Absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah.
100%. This is the over week. All right.
Yep.
Let's get down to it. We're coming up to the prediction. We may have been predicting the whole game, the whole show, the outcome of the game. I'm going to go to you first, Riz. What do you think? Who's going to win this one?
This is a game where I hope that it's within double digits. I really do. Green Bay is really good. I don't want to blow more smoke up them because they don't need it, but they deserve it. They're really, really good. The Lions, They got their bump last week with Daryl Bevel. It was great. I was glad to see them have energy, have some joy de vivre when they're playing. It was nice to see the players smiling and having fun. That only goes so far. They do not have the talent to match up with Green Bay if Green Bay plays well. I have no reason to believe that Green Bay won't play well, so I think they're going to win. I'll go 38-27.
Okay. Tio, where's your head at?
I agree with everything Riz said. I think the only thing that could stop the Packers from rolling in this game is if they come in thinking, you know what, we got this game. And hopefully that's not the case. Matt LaFleur even said during meetings with the reporters this week in Green Bay that this is a dangerous team because they have an interim head coach. They're not predictable. It is a dangerous game for them, but I still think the Packers will be able to do it. The first game was 41-21. I will go a little bit closer. I'll say 35-21 this time, Packers.
Oh, okay. Good, good. Super chat. We got Loretto coming in. I agree. They have a great offense, but I don't see Green Bay's defense stopping the Lions either, especially if we're slinging it. And then, okay, really quick question. I'll do my prediction. Joe B. Thank you, Loretto, by the way. Thank you, Joe. Riz, do you think the Lions should keep Bevel?
As the offensive coordinator, hell yeah. As the head coach,
no way. That's exactly where I was. Yeah, that's great. All right, so we got that going on. Final outcome. Oof, boy, this is good. Look, I'm going to tell you, I think the Packers feel sad for the Lions, and I think Bevel's got the Wisconsin connection, and I think the Lions' uniforms are a lot better. So I give that. No. Come on, you guys. Tony's like, okay.
He's become Walter Football.
Yeah, pretty much.
No, not a chance. I got 35-28 for the Packers to peel one onto the Lions and put it out of our reach again. I'm hoping that it's that close, to be completely frank. I just don't see our defense able to stop Aaron Rodgers and the team. And as good as our offense played against Chicago, we did have some troubles along the way, and I just don't think it's clicking the way it needs to be. And we're missing some key pieces there. So
one other quick key that I forgot to mention that I actually wrote down as a key: the Packers have only turned the ball over in 4 of their 12 games, and they have lost 3 of those games. All 3 of their games were games where they did have a giveaway. So if the Lions can get a takeaway, the Packers, empirically evidenced anyways, don't respond to that all that well. So maybe if you can get a strip sack, another Romeo Okorah strip sack. By the way, why the hell was Mitchell Trubisky dropping back to pass there? Oh my God. The Bears need a new coach. Thank you. Thanks for the gift win,
do
Matt
they?
Nagy.
As a Lions fan, do you think they need one? Really?
I think they're going to get one, believe me.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I do too. Yeah. Everybody that I talked with in Chicago last week thinks that Matt Nagy is a dead man walking, and Ryan Pace probably is too.
Yeah. Yep. I really wish it would have been the Lions that put the nail in that coffin. But
wouldn't it be
whatever.
Fun if the Lions beat a team and they fired their coach right away?
It is such a weird feeling. Like it's bizarro world, right? Everything's opposite.
I love it. Like Cleveland did that. They played the Jaguars, and the Jaguars fired their general manager immediately after the game. And everybody in Cleveland was like, what? that happens with other teams?
I really wanted the craziness in Houston. I wanted them to fire Cornell like around this point in the season. Fire two coaches in one season, the coach and the interim coach. We need that one time in the NFL.
By the way, and Tony and I were talking about this off the air before we got on. Mm-hmm. Strongly recommend that you read the piece on Jack Easterby, the Texans version of Rasputin in Sports Illustrated. It's very well reported. It's very well sourced, and it is very worth your time seeing how a team could be in much worse shape than the Detroit Lions are.
Absolutely.
Yeah, ownership on down.
That was the first thing that came to mind when I read it. Everybody talks about the dysfunction with the Lions organization. Read this.
You'll understand. They are a new level of bat bleep crazy down there.
Yes.
Oh man. All right. Lastly, I want to tell you guys about the St. Jude auction really quick. It is 1 week left is all you got. You got 1 week left to get access to all the sweet stuff. Darren McCarty signed puck that says F Lemieux, sweet revenge. That's and you're going to be bidding against me for that one. We got a Darren McCarty signed helmet. We got our old Warrior signed helmet. We've got Dan Miller is going to do a custom voicemail for you. That's the thing that's up on the auction. Some signed footballs, Jeffrey Okuda, DeAndre Swift, all kinds of really, really great Lions and merch, other sports merch. Putting a Billy Sims signed ball up there this weekend, so it's going to be on for just a week. A signed book from none other than Jim Brandstetter. Some great stuff up there. Get up there, get in there, and get yourself some the great Lions merch. Every single penny of that goes to St. Jude to help the kids, to bring Christmas to St. Jude, Christmas for the kids. If you want to just donate direct, stjude.org/DLP. You can throw some dollars at them, dollar bill. Hey, Riz, what's your opinion of the candidates the Lions have interviewed so far for GM? Kyle O'Brien, Lance Newmark, and Rob Lohman. Thank you, OnePride81, for that super chat.
Yeah, thank you. That's a good question. They are internal candidates. They're all currently in the Lions front office. They are the people that are making the decisions on who to bring in. They did some tryouts this week. One of them was Tremaine Brock, the former he started in the Super Bowl for the 49ers at cornerback. He's 32 and can't play anymore, but they're at least trying out. So they're trying it. Kyle O'Brien is going to get a job somewhere. I don't know if it will be in Detroit, but he's good at what he does. He's great in the role of the manager of the scouting department, the vice president of player personnel, which essentially is the person that the collegiate scouting and the pro scouting report to. He kind of gathers information about other teams. He's very good at that. He was the GM, I believe, in Jacksonville for some time. Mm-hmm. He's got great hair, which is always an advantage. He has the best visor hair of anybody I've ever seen. He really does.
Raz, but there's also the Riz, and the Riz has hair is one of the key indicators.
I do care about metrics. These things. You can tell a lot about a person about their hairstyle and their pride in it, and he takes pride in that. Of course.
Tony's getting mad. Fix it, Riz. Fix it right now, man.
I'm gonna.
Tony's
hold on
too
that
good
line.
To lose. Yeah. You gotta fix that.
So I would expect him. I don't think he's a serious. I don't think any of them are serious candidates for the Lions. I think they were interviewing to possibly stay with the Lions. That is something that Lance Newmark has done incredibly well. He predates Matt Millen. Yes. He's been around for a very long time. I wouldn't necessarily be upset if he's not around anymore. And that's nothing against him personally, not at all. He's a good dude. I've met him a couple of times. He's perfectly fine at what he does. Anybody who's been around a team that long, I start to wonder why they're still there, especially when the team hasn't had success. So it wouldn't bother me if they got cleaned out, to be honest with you. I do think that they were interviewing more to show Sheila and the search committee that is being assembled, which, by the way, does include O'Brien, from what we understand, that they're capable of coming back. And I wouldn't be upset if O'Brien stays in his current spot, honestly. I think he does a good job at it. But the other guys, I don't see them being with Detroit next year, but people have said that about Newmark for a long time. Tony, you know those guys better than I do. What do you think?
I like Lance Newmark a lot. I really do. I would like to see him stick around. The one thing I like about those internal interviews is, and you guys know this from corporate America, sometimes jobs open up and you never get looked at. Nobody even considers you for a moment. And you might have designs on the job. You might think, well, why don't they interview me? I like the fact that they interviewed a couple of in-house candidates. Even if they don't get the job, at least the organization is saying, hey, we value you enough to at least consider the possibility of you having that job. So kudos to the Lions, at least, for doing that.
And it helps them get their process together. It's kind of a little bit of a less tense kind of a situation, not for the interviewee, but for the interviewers, because they know them and they can understand each other. But it lets them kind of, because interviewing is a skill. It's a distinct skill to be able to interview and hire good people. You need to practice at it to be good. So I hate to say that these guys are just practice, but you're absolutely right, Tony. When you look at those internal candidates, it says a lot about the organization. I want to bring something up really quick that was not on the docket, but it was a question that Casey and I started talking about a little bit last week. We'll start with you, Tone. Amy Trask. If they could peel her out, what do you think of Amy is like a VP of football operations kind of role or something like that?
I'm the wrong person to ask because I'm a huge Amy Trask fan. I have her book. I've read it. I love when she's on television and radio. I would love to see Amy Trask come here. That would be outstanding. I'm a fan, so I'm all for it. Thumbs up if Amy Trask was given a chance to come here.
I think she'd be terrific. You're a journalist, too. You know how to be fair and balanced. I'm okay with your assessment. Riz, what do you think, man?
I'm in the same boat as Tony. I've read her book. My wife has actually read her book and enjoyed it very much. She's very, very smart. The fact that she is Al Davis's daughter it opened doors for her, but it never was the reason why she stayed in those doors. She's really, really sharp. She's tough. She asks great questions. I think that's one of the things that comes across whenever you're interacting with her on Twitter, whenever you see her on podcasts or anything like that. She asks very smart, probing questions that other people don't necessarily see. She's been part of an organization that had a nepotism problem, and she was a little bit accused of being that. Yep. She made sure that that was not true. She is very, very good. I personally want her to be the next commissioner of the NFL. I don't know how realistic that is, but if the Lions could get her in here, hell yeah, man.
On the way to commissioner, that would be awesome. Can you imagine a Lions, former Lions commissioner? God, for once we'd feel like maybe we had a little bit of a little bit of edge in the
I'll say this right now. If they had an election for commissioner, Amy Trask would win.
I agree.
Interesting. All right. There you go. Two bright gentlemen and me weighing in on Amy Trask. And we'll continue to kind of pull that thread a little bit as we go forward. But with that, we are going to call it a week. Tony's wife has some shopping to do, and we're holding it up. And that's the last thing we want to do. You always, always have to take care of your friends and their families.
I don't want to go shopping.
Oh, well, man. Sorry, Tony.
I'm so excited. I'm going to the outlet mall tomorrow. I'm pumped, man. I love going to the outlet malls. I have
those
a reason
are fun.
For that. As Chris those knows, because I went to one when I came up to Chris's house for the first time. I'm like, oh, there's an outlet mall not far from you. I'm spending 2 hours there.
I'm like, going to be late, Chris.
In a Puma store.
And ooh. A Smoothie King. Got a smoothie. We got it all here, Riz. You got to rethink your location.
Did they have a Johnny Rockets? This is important. Did they have a Johnny Rockets when you were a few years ago?
Not that I'm aware of.
I think there is a Johnny Rockets around here. I used to be
good
to
have in Santa Monica. You got to have a good outlet hamburger place for an outlet small. You got it.
Tony knows what he's talking about. All right. With that, we're going to call it a show. Thank you for everyone to tuning in. Tony, thanks as usual. Riz, thank you so much. Use the comments and subreddit to give us your feedback. Let us know what you think of the show. Appreciate all that. And also, don't forget about us on Patreon. Patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. As little as $1 a month will get you access to the Slack chat, which is the most intelligent Lions chat on the internet. It's beyond rocket science. It's beyond brain surgery. It is Lions chat that's smart. There you go. Check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast, and on Twitter at DETLionsPodcast. DETLionsPodcast is where we really, really expect to see Tony one day, just like Riz.
Uh oh. I can't find my pants.
He sold it so well. He's so good at that. Give us a call via Skype, Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast, or call us on the Lions line, 929-33-LIONS. It's 929-335-4667. And be sure to go to Detroit Lions Podcast, subscribe to the podcast so we can come in your... So we can show up in your... So you get the show every time it comes
Hi.
Out. check your ears. Check your ears. You might find it there. Thank you for tuning in. We're going to see you next time on the Detroit Lions podcast. Remember, no pants, no toasters, no hot tubs, no problems, because we're your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection.
Final seconds winding down, and look at that. How big is that? Chris and Case out of time. Pack the bags, start the plane. This show is over.